Bang bang, what is up you guys? Welcome to volume 30 of Scrump and Drew's Music Box. I'm of course Scrump.
I'm of course Drew.
Drew, we did it. We did it, buddy. 30.
The show is as old as you are.
Yeah, we're about the same age now. I mean, I think technically. Oh man, dude, hold on. I'm going to do some math because I almost kind of wish now that we would have saved all those Kevin Smith songs that we've done. Mm-hmm. Maybe we put the kibosh on them just because I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, if we were smart, episode 37 would have just been the Kevin Smith episode. Yes. I mean,
yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll blow it out for 37, then we'll retire the gimmick.
Yeah, because I'm thinking now, we should just not do any until episode 37 because of that. Because I'm just like, oh fuck. Hold on, so I'm trying to see when we started doing these, and then when the break happened.
We're probably pretty close to a year at this point. I want to say it was like April or May we started it.
Okay, so the last episode would have been the Disney one
before the break.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fuck, I'm trying to see like 3, 4, 5. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying. I was like trying to figure out. I was like, what in the fuck? And then the next one is so October 4th. So between October 4th and June 21st. That's what? So September,
August, July.
So definitely, okay, so.
A little over 3 months.
This technically should be about episode 42, 43.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But instead it's episode 30 and we're here. Yeah. Celebrating that 30 episodes. And it's funny too, because you mentioned a year. So today I got asked, about the podcast. Listen, these women from TikTok can't stop finding me. And at this point it's just like, sure, whatever. I don't care. I have a podcast. Listen at your own fucking. Well, actually, I've smartened up now and I've started to say when they ask, as opposed to before where I was like, well, it's kind of a little. No, I'm just like, yeah, it's a wrestling. All wrestling. Oh my God. So much wrestling. There is so much wrestling on these shows. It's.
That's smart. Yeah. Because then they're going to be like, oh, never mind.
Yes. Which is. That is the best. And I'm just like, it's all just wrestling. Completely fucking. 100% wrestling, nothing else.
That's what I need to tell the people I don't want to listen. They're just like, yeah, it's wrestling.
Unless they're like, oh yeah, I fucking love wrestling. And you're like, actually, it's about the Spanish Inquisition. But I had mentioned that where I was like, oh, but I was like, I also have a music one. And she asked, like, how long have you been doing the podcast? And I was like, 5 years now. Because I was like, yeah, last year was like the 4 year anniversary. And it's trippy to me because I know before that, I mean, obviously you've been podcasting fucking eight years.
Yeah. Cause we did about a year before with Jabroni U, we started right, probably a year before we did the draft pod. I'm trying to think, when did we start? Yeah. It would have been 2006, either late 15 or early 16 is when we founded Jabroni U, and it was just the one podcast. It was me and Daniel trying to convince James to watch wrestling, which we did a terrible job because all we did was bitch about wrestling. Cause that's what you do as a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And so that didn't work. And then we just like, Andy's like, we did a wrestling draft at one point, and it fucking sparked in Andy's fucking crazy ass brain, and he's like, I want to do a podcast that's just this. And we were like, okay, cool. And it was supposed to be just Andy, and James and I were just going to be on the first episode, and then he was just going to get two people like every time, like, and he was just like, no, no, I just want you guys to do it. So we were like, okay. And then the draft pod was born in early 17.
Yeah, it's funny because I've talked about it, where originally it was the PWT cast featuring the PWT cast, mm-hmm. you know, hosted by Scrump, in which I would just have different hosts every week, but I wound up having the same one for 114 episodes, mm-hmm. I think. But, and I think even before I started podcasting, I'd hopped onto What's Next. I think it was just Braden who had me on, who had me on a few times, because I'd called Into the Law, but that's different because again I just called in, like I hadn't actually been a guest on a podcast. Because
it'd be funny, like all these years later we find out you're John from Oshawa. Do you remember that caller?
No, I know that, there's Thorsten Vendelmuth.
Yeah, he's still a patron of a post, but no. So John from Oshawa, I still like, if I ever go to one of these fucking post Q&As, like what I want to ask them was like, hey, what was the deal from John from Oshawa? Because like he was always in that branded position where they put him on last. He would always ask the dumbest question, many of which they already answered during the show. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk for an hour about like how, you know, like this week, yeah, you know, Mercedes, you know what, and like, and then he'd call in and be like, hey, who do you think Mercedes' first feud will be with? But it was always like really dumb questions, and like I was just like, I always want to know like what the fuck was the deal with that guy.
I see. I don't remember him. I remember when. I remember when I started listening to them, but it might have been not too far before. Yeah, it's maybe like a year or two before I actually, you know, wind up starting podcasting.
Oh, really?
I always forget. I started podcasting, I think, around All In. Yeah, it was around like the first All In.
Well, you must have, like, right when you started, they must have fucking, they pulled the plug then. Cause that was what, October, November when they pulled the plug on the law?
Yeah, there's just this like weird time correlation between all that. Yeah. I don't know. It was around that time. Like during the pandemic, or not even during the pandemic, just like, oh yeah, this would have been during the pandemic. I'd gone back and I started listening to old episodes. Because I mean, like every now and then, I'm like on Facebook
of this show or of
the PWT cast.
Yeah,
just to see. But it's one of those. I hate it. I hate listening to how. Trust me, there's some episodes where I listen, like the episode that we did all together. So many likes, from more likes than a fucking Hinge profile. You know, there's just from...
Dude, forever, that's been my fucking... when I listen to myself, that's all I hear. I basically hear an hour's worth of like...
Essentially, it's what it is for me, yeah. Which is always... And I personally am not a fan of my own voice. I've been told, like, women like my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the listeners of the show enjoy it enough. If for 5 years they've been listening to me and you know, and stuff like that. But
that's the thing. Like Andy and James always say that about mine too. I'm like,
you do have a good podcast voice. That is why one of the reasons, you know, you're a good podcaster. But aside from that, you have a good podcast voice because that is something that factors into it. Like I think I've been lucky in which anyone who's ever stepped into the hot seat across from mm-hmm. me has been good at podcasting, good at like what we, and mm-hmm. everyone has been, you know, someone I have a chemistry with on some sort of level. because it would be fucking super awkward if you like you weren't talkative or if we didn't get along, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we were just like, yeah, so I like, you know, I like 3-6 Mafia, and what about you? And
yeah, I don't really care for Southern rap.
Oh, okay. You know, but honestly, yeah. That's
it's just a lot of like the opposite of like yes anding.
But that happens. Like I will listen to, I will see it usually on Facebook memory where it's an older episode. And I'll go back and listen just because some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Whole memories. I always do kick myself in the teeth. And speaking of John and Wei, the first episode that I recorded with them was the second podcast I'd ever done. Okay. Fully. And it's wild to me that I got John Pollock and Wei Ting as well as Kevin Smith, you know, it like as early as I did. I made that Cody list and put Kevin Smith on there and then immediately got him 13 episodes in thanks to Joe. But yeah, I'm excited with this one. With this podcast, you know, cause I think it's different enough. I mean, they're all kind of the fucking same. Yeah. I was thinking about the last week's family video that we would have recorded, or this week's, I don't fucking know, the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes one, where I just went off on my fucking Javier Bardem tangent for like 10 minutes, and honestly, it, you know, and the podcast itself got cut short because my shitty internet, but yeah, again, it's just funny to me when, because even in talking to this woman, you know, she's like, I don't think I could talk. And I was like, listen, it is the easiest thing to just, I don't know about you. Yeah. Like I mentioned last week I don't know. When I hung out with my friend Stephanie the weekend that you were here,
yeah,
the one thing we were talking about, we're both talking about like dating in general. And her thing was like, and I get it, as a woman, she's like, I refuse to do any first dates that aren't just coffee. She's in the event that it's a bad date. And I think I have the opposite, just depending on it. Like, I mean, with my last girlfriend, we hit it off so much through text and back and forth messaging that I didn't have that fear that we would go to dinner like we did. I mean, we essentially showed up to dinner, ordered food, then legitimately did not touch it. I did not touch any of my pasta.
Yeah.
You know, and we were there, we shut the place down. And that tends to be most of my dates that I have. Just again, I'm at the point, I've been at the point in my life where I don't know about you. Like I don't know, it may sound shitty. I don't know. I'm not going to invest the time in going on a date with someone unless I know the chemistry is there, and I'm not going to waste my time. I don't care about money. Maybe I do, but it's just, I don't care. It could be fucking, it could be coffee shop, or we can take a trip to fucking Spain. I don't care. As long as I know that I'm not wasting my time, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But the one thing that this podcast has helped with, if anything, in the last 5 years, is being able to just pull out these fucking stories, you know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you have to let a little bit of a lull in the conversation. But the few dates that I have been on where it's like, conversely, where it's just like, oh, I just told you this. And it's like, oh my God, that's cool. It's like, yeah, that's fucking cool. You want to hear about the time I dressed up in a penis costume and won a professional wrestling match? And I've always said, I don't know about you, there's nothing more than I love than being asked to be on other people's podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason I think Wes is probably the only person who's been on the Draft Pod more than myself.
Maybe Daniel.
It's definitely like me, Wes, and Daniel.
Yeah.
Top three has just been on there. And honestly, like I remember at one point you guys joked about like, yeah, we'll have you on. I tell you all the time, I was like, whenever you guys need me, just let me know. But it's always the best being on someone else's podcast. And I've only ever rejected one request from a podcast, but that was just because the person just straight up was stealing the show from Stank and I. To the point where they were saying like friends of the show, and it was just like, what the fuck? Like, I think I like booted him off of our Patreon. That was just how much like hate and vitriol. And to this day, I don't hold grudges.
Yeah,
you know, I used to be, God forgives, okay. Birdo doesn't. And for the most part, that is true. Mm-hmm. Except for this one person, whenever I say him, it's very much just, what's up? And that is as conversational as I get. You know, I've in the last few years, I've forgiven a lot of people for being real shitty. That's the one.
Not like, this one.
Let me have my one.
Yeah.
Let me have my one with it again. And I'm he's a very nice person, so I don't even think he was doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
People don't forget, Drew. People.
Maybe he was just paying homage.
Which is what I think he said to Frank, because he was just like, hey, like Scrump and Stank are pretty fucking upset about it. Or I think he like messaged Stank and told him like, oh, hey, it's not like, because he noticed he got kicked off of our fucking Patreon.
Yeah.
And again, it was just one of those like, I feel the way I feel. And again, I'm not a shitty person. I don't not say hello when he sees us, and because he goes to events and stuff like that to signings, but it's just the moral of the story is that is the one podcast I've turned down. I'll be on anyone's podcast, but I primarily
And honestly, I'm a little upset because like you know, Wes was like, yeah, man, I might need you guys to do this, and I was like, cool,
yeah,
I get to break into the why did we ever meet space again, like that's what I want, and then he's just like nothing, like damn it. That's so I feel like that's the fun thing about, and I'm just kidding, Wes, like you I'm no pressure, but like that's the one fun thing about also going on other people's podcasts is, I don't know about you, but like you kind of like each show has their own rhythm and personality, and it's fun to like get into that as you like especially if you're a listener of it and you know like what's going on, like that to me is really fun, because you can kind of jump in there and be like, oh, okay, I know what we're doing here, like yeah, I'm let's good to go, yeah, we're gonna like, you know, like the one episode I did with Wes where it was like, yeah, I know what we can get into here, like I can talk about stuff that I can't talk about here, but then also I can be filthy at the same time. So it's always good. But that's what I do love about this one is the music box in particular is the, and I told this, I was talking to Wes about this, how it's one of my favorites just because I can get more autobiographical. And as you know, we learned from the astrology episode, like, you know, I'm not one to talk about myself. So like when I do get to like go back in time and like relive these things, like, it is kind of cool to like to talk about that, even though like, you know, I don't really want to, but I do.
No, and it's, I mean, listen, first off, I don't know, if it might be a blessing in disguise, because I get in trouble every time I go and where did we ever meet? You know? It was just, Wes, come on, what the fuck? Me and Drew are just sitting here waiting.
Yeah. We've just been sitting in front of the Zoom for months.
No, I do know what you mean, because that is a thing with a lot of these songs. Like there is a story to almost every single one of them.
Yeah.
I sometimes like I pick fucking Team Tomodachi the other day, and it was just very much just like, hey, I heard this on TikTok and thought it was cool.
Yeah.
As opposed to sometimes I'll pick a song and it's just, you know, I'm like, this reminds me of the summer that me and Ivan fucking boiled Vienna beef hot dogs and made Lipton iced tea that already had sugar in it, but we didn't know. So we'd put extra sugar in it. We'd play music on his brother's Xbox that would also let us play the Warriors. And that was the best summer of my life until an adult would come home and kick us out of the living room because we'd been in there all fucking morning, you know? So it is literally, oh, I really love this song because of this deep emotional connection, or just, oh, I heard it and it sounds cool, which both are valid. I mean, I don't know about you. I think both are valid choices in picking these songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's But I feel like that's the thing with music is like with you always have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you said, sometimes it's about the band, sometimes it's about the actual song itself or, you know, whatever. But
yeah. Speaking of though, stories to tell, I won't have one to tell about this year in particular as I was not born.
Okay.
Neither were you.
Okay.
But the year is 1973. And of course the theme for, I think it's been, so it's funny because of where I'm sitting, I can't see the recorder, which if you see me occasionally peeking over, it's just to make sure that it, for whatever reason, hasn't just stopped recording.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know how, but honestly, I think we're probably at like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But this week, of course, is home state edition.
Yes.
You know, not necessarily, you know, Chicago or,
Bradner.
Well, because I know you mentioned you were born in another town, so I didn't know if you were like, no, fuck Bradner. I didn't know there until I was a teen. Yeah, it's not, this is a...
No, that was just the nearest town with a hospital.
Oh, man. That Bradner is that small, huh?
Yeah.
There's literally like four. I could throw a rock and hit a hospital around here. But funny enough, if your parents were listening to the radio, my dad would have been 3, my mom would have been 13. And there's this fucking thing, it'll happen so much with my mom where I'll be like, do you remember this song? She's like, no. I'm like, what the fuck, what were you doing? This would have been popular when you were a kid. And she's just like, I don't know, I guess I was listening to the radio. And again, my dad would have been fucking 3. But speaking of our home states, one of these artists is from your very own. And of course, the OJs with the song Love Train.
Okay. Glad I didn't go with them.
Yeah. At one point, I was like, for whatever reason, at one point, I thought they were from Chicago.
Mm.
So I was just like, oh, okay. I was like, maybe it will sort of be that. But I'm sure if I'd done enough research, I could have found.
Mm hmm.
But it's fine. This is okay. At least one is from Ohio. I forget where exactly in Ohio. Actually, I'm going to look it up. Oh, it'd be so awesome if they were from Bradner.
Nobody has any idea.
Canton, Ohio.
Canton, okay.
How far is Canton from Bradner?
It's quite a bit. It's on the east side of Ohio, so you're looking at probably like 3-4 hours.
Let me see. Canton.
To Bradner.
Canton, Ohio. From Bradner, Ohio. Yeah, 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
So it's like driving from here to St. Louis.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. That's going to be my measure of everything.
Like how Kevin Smith had a measurement of Jaws, ours is going to be the distance to and from St. Louis, which they're like, I don't think that measurement's right.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. It's like, what are you, fucking loser? You don't fucking, trust me. I know my distance. Yeah, I know my geography. No, it's a good song, though. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know. Love Train.
Yeah.
And there are some classic songs on here. Well, primarily you went with one, which I thought we'd already done, but I guess we haven't. Right? I mean, I looked at,
you know, I had that thought too.
What's a good thing I have a note, because I mean it's fine because we could always.
Yeah, I have that note too. I forgot to look into that, but like.
No, I don't see. I mean,
No, we did just the one word. That's right. I remembered that. Yeah.
Oh yes. I was like, oh no.
It's weirdly by the same group, but yeah, they did Shout and Twist and Shout. So.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, oh no.
Because I remember us talking about like the, and a little bit softer now, and a little bit softer now. That was the one with Andy, right? That was the party episode. No, that was 1999.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that was that, you know. And this next song, so it's fun, right? The one thing I do love about music from the 60s, from the 70s, mm-hmm. is discover like a song that's been sampled.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, can you guess what song this is sampled? The song is Killing Me Softly with His Song by Roberto Flack. can you think of any song that's sampled this?
Yeah, I think there was one called Killing Me Softly.
Roberto Flack fucking slaps, dude.
Yeah,
like again, one of these musicians where I'm like, this is music.
Yeah,
like, oh, there I go with saying that word. There was a TikTok that I saw about Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata and how it's just like a love ballad.
Uh-huh.
And I wish that I could fucking play music. You know?
Yeah.
For the sole purpose of, and you know what's happened? An artist makes a song.
You know what's funny? It's just 2 weeks ago you said that you only want to have the piano to play Interstellar and
well, no, we said Interstellar, Where's My Mind, The yeah. Exorcist, and Halloween.
Yeah.
But no, I guess I mean as a singer. Yeah. Like, imagine being the girl who fucking made Bill Weathers write Ain't No Sunshine. And you know it's you.
Yeah.
And you just go, fuck. Like, I'm a sucker. You know?
That would be a fun thing. Like, that would almost be a fucking TV show. Like, kind of like tying into wrestling, where they have like the WWE on A&E, where they they go and look for like the certain things from matches and stuff like that. Like, imagine going and finding this people that these songs were written about.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like, I mean, maybe they weren't written about someone in specific, but I'm sure a lot of those hits are.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I know.
Like, I want to see Taylor Swift's first boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know there's like that Ariana Grande song where she just straight up name drops all her exes.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Yeah, she goes Patreon mode.
Which, good for her. I mean, honestly, I know Atmosphere, he has a lot of songs in which, you know, he talks about Lucy.
Yeah.
And most of those songs, he said it's not one specific person. But I'm like, listen, you've talked a lot of shit about your baby mama, Rita. And even though her name is Rita, I know she hears Lucy and goes, it's fucking about me. But to his credit, he said before, like, oh, it's about several different people. Yeah. And the one line in the Guns and Cigarettes, there's a line he has where he's like, a few years ago, an ex-girl of mine told me to keep her name out my rhymes. The live version, I remember seeing him at Lala and him doing it, and he's done the song since then, and it's never been this version, but the live version that he did was like a few years ago, an ex-girl of mine told me to keep her name out my rhymes. It's like, don't trip, girl, it's just rap, fuck you, Lucy, don't ever fucking question that. Something along those lines, which I'm just like, yeah, he's incorporating other songs. But I mean, I've talked about it before. I've had two people confront me about having one person sent their mom, but the other person was straight up just like, oh, I heard what you said on the podcast. And, you know, it's one of those things where shouldn't be listening.
This is a wrestling podcast.
Well, it's like, I mean, one person broke up with me and then the other person I broke up with.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing listening?
Yeah.
Fucking get a life. Well, yeah, that was Roberta Flack. So again, this is our home state edition. I don't know if we even got to that. I think we did. Okay, maybe. Yeah, I was like, I Bert Kreischer'd myself and specifically just interrupted myself another one. So yeah, it is our states. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm originally from Montana. So these are all kind of Chicago.
Yeah.
But not specifically. And so we mentioned specific time and in specific place.
Mm-hmm.
There is when I was 20. Would I have been 20? Yeah, I would have been about 19 or 20. The first time I heard this rapper, of course, I'd heard about him plenty, and I never actually listened to him. And there's this white passing Latina therapist that I know. We were dating at the time, and I remember we were in her room, and she kept bringing this person up, and I was like, "Well, let's listen to him." I hadn't heard him, and the person, of course, I'm talking about is Chance the Rapper. Of course, he's had his rise and fall. His new music, very fucking corny. I cannot listen to it. Like, listen, I don't like God, and I don't care to listen about I love my wife, and that's not me making fun of him. That's literally a song that he has where he's just like, oh, I love my wife. Listen, be a little bit more, be more fucking Bill Weathers about it, you know, instead of a fucking a ninth grader that just got fucking MySpace and is telling people how much they love their girlfriend. Like, come on, be a little fucking classy about it, dude.
Yeah.
But the song I went with is off the Acid Rap album, and it's a very good album, and it was not too long ago that they put it on Apple Music, and the song I went with is Juice. Again, I know exactly where I was laying down on my tummy on my side of the bed, because anytime I've ever slept over a girl's house, I'm like, that is my side of the bed. I don't like to be walled off, because it's like, if I have to poo in the middle of the night, I'd rather just roll off.
Yeah.
That's honestly the only logic I have in case I got to poo in the middle of the night. Which was always super awkward, because when I dated her, her aunt for a while lived, like, they had the whole family have a whole house. Her and her sister had the two rooms in the basement, and her aunt just sort of had a little corner with an air mattress, and she was like, she would have been in her like early 30s, and she had her boyfriend with her down there, because he lived like far. He lived like an hour away, so they would just sleep over there. And they were both big people, like on a tiny fucking air mattress, which I was like, that has to be so uncomfortable,
right?
But I remember one time I was like, man, I'm gonna shit my pants, and I like go, and I would always try to be very fucking quiet, because again, I don't want to like make noise, wake her up fucking, or wake them up, because they were literally right outside the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm about to fucking shit my pants, and just going, and I'm walking, and they were for sure fucking, and I'm just going in the bathroom and like not being able to shit. And it would, I literally remember just like going upstairs to use her parents' bathroom, because I'd rather fucking her stepdad say something to me than like, I know you people were fucking, and they never said anything to me. Never said anything to them. You never
tasted. Did they know you were there?
Yeah. I slept over. I like.
No, I mean, did they know you were like. Like, did they know that you knew? Like, that kind of thing. Like,
we never like that
you were it. You were in the area.
I mean, they knew I was sleeping over, and I mean, I imagine they figured out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's super awkward. But that's what this song reminds me of.
It's those two out of shape people fucking.
I mean, like, dude, at like 35, if I fucking lived in my fucking sister's basement, I'd fucking with my boyfriend. Like, come on. Eventually they move out, but it's like, hey, I'm not gonna judge anyone. I live in a warehouse.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, this is my Chance the Rapper, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, this album in particular too has a very
that version. Yeah,
the intro is also really good. It's it's got one of my favorite rap lines, which I've talked about before. It's Nightly Searches for a Bed, and I just came off tour with Troy, and I was like, because at one point Childish Gambino is his opener.
Yes,
imagine yeah, where those two ended up. Yeah, and I'm surprised we haven't brought them up yet, but going with your first choice, we're going with Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Cleveland's own.
It's funny because the next group that I'm going with, I remember Jesus, My Godfather Jesus.
Shout out Jesus.
I remember him having my band's fucking sticker everywhere. Mm-hmm. Nine Inch Nails too. Some Nine Inch Nails stickers there. Offspring stickers, like all those 90s bands, alternative bands.
Yeah, man, this is a fucking banger back in the day.
I know Steve Grows Weed is gonna fuck with this.
Yeah, probably.
Well, go ahead.
But
no, I was gonna say, I was like, he was like, oh, I remember Butthole Surfers. So
hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, this video was fucking, like, I just remember that, like, it's still one of the better videos, like, to come out of the 90s to me. Like, the whole fucking, like, hanging on the string and stuff. And yeah, it's just fucking, it's just some crazy shit. But yeah, I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal. Tell me about it.
I'm like, I'm trying to remember what exactly it was in.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to check on fucking, because I remember it's like in a, I mean, I'm sure it was in several movies and stuff like that, but I'm trying to,
I think this was on I want to say this was on Pretty Hate Machine. But
the album,
yeah,
no, this is off the Downward Spiral.
Oh, it is Downward Spiral. Yeah. Okay.
I meant as far as like what in pop culture that it's been on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. I was just trying to think. But yeah, man, this was like Trent Reznor has gone on to you know,
score The Watchmen.
Some of our favorite soundtracks. Like, his music just kind of fits for that stuff, so.
Which, like, fuck you for being that talented.
Yeah.
Most people get one thing.
Yeah.
He's had several.
Yeah. Oh. But he, yeah, and then collabing with, you know, our buddy Clint Mansell from Aronofsky fame.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Nine Inch Nails, to me at least, is one of those bands where, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm not really familiar with their music.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately I'm like, oh, I'm familiar with everything they've ever done.
Yeah. I remember I had a buddy that, you know, we could maybe put this in the quote book from when we were younger, but he said,
big girls always have the house to themselves. Who listened to Nine Inch Nails?
No, Nine Inch Nails is the perfect perfect fucking soundtrack, because it gives you the nice pulsating, you know, like, it gives you the nice rhythm to go to. So I'm sure Steve Feast knows all about it.
Oh, dude, Steve Feast, that guy fucks.
Yeah, he does.
Steve Grows Weed too, dude.
Yeah.
That guy for sure.
I just saw this sweet video, this all the cool shit he got from his sponsor. I was like, damn.
I know Steve has, because he was moving. He had an impromptu move, so that's why we didn't get him on here. Mm-hmm. But I know there's a film at some point that we had discussed recording with him, as well as an episode of this show. So, Steve, grows weed. I know you're gonna listen to this, and yeah, you gotta get you on here soon, buddy.
Yeah.
Although I don't know, what if he's like, fuck Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah. Nah, he knows.
You know what's a good album, though, to fuck to is Childish Gambino's "Awaken My Love."
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when that one came out, listen, when that album came out, that was the summer that I moved into my fucking first apartment, which, God bless that apartment. Until, like an idiot, I fucking tied myself down. I picked the one bad apple. I had one girl who fucking...
And you're like, I don't need this apartment anymore.
So dumb. I literally was having a conversation with Ryan's mom the other day. I was like, I'm never leaving this warehouse until there's a ring on this finger. I'm not moving out.
And even then.
Yeah, and even then, I'm going to be like, hey, Brian, can I make all of this? No? Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
Be like, babe, how do you want your own, like, why don't you want your own bar?
I mean, listen, and say what you will, there is a charm of this place.
Yeah.
You know, there is a charm. Especially once you enter my fucking Willy Wonka's factory of just...
Plus there's the implications.
I mean, listen. I'm
what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Run? Good luck getting out.
I mean, listen. Hey, I've said it before. I am never the one to suggest we go to my room. You know? I am never the one to suggest that. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad. So it's
because
funny
because of the implications.
Nah, dude, because they, you know,
not that anything's going to happen to them.
This again, I don't listen. I know we joke, but it's never my idea. I had a listener of the show. She fucking was like, we're not going over there. I said, cool. That's fine with me. And we sat there talking. Worked. It was her idea. I said, are you sure? She said, yes. All right. Who am I to tell a house guest no?
That's right.
So this next band, though, that I'm going with, again, I mentioned. It's funny, literally, what we just said. In my mind, I was like, I need to eventually listen to them, especially once me and Jesus became close again, because he's a big fan of them. Shout out, Jesus. I just grew up my entire life knowing, associating this band with him. Mm-hmm. And telling myself, eventually I need to listen to them. And then listening to them and going, oh, I know all these songs. I know so many of these songs. This one song in particular, I love, because not only is it essentially it is straight up saying fuck California and fuck New York, which as a Chicagoan, very much, I am very, I am Paul Atreides at the end of fucking Dune to, you know, fucking claiming my stake. And this song, of course, is California Songs by Local H. Yeah. And I love this. Very like last week where I talked about the beginning by Joe Keery. I get very emotional listening to this song too. Because I too, enough California songs and fuck New York too. And Local H, just two people.
Yeah.
Only two people. And they still do shows around here. So I want to go see them. I fucking missed out.
Really?
Dude, there's a venue literally right down the block from me that Vinny is performing there. I think Music Nation might also be playing. I don't know. But it's literally down here, and at one point fucking Jesus was there watching Local H, and he invited me, but fucking stupid fucking C2.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, I'm in love. Right here, the chorus is what I love. Yeah, we know you love LA. New York too. Dude, first time I heard this, literally, yeah. Again, I was just like, oh, captain, my captain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's why I think there's an a kinship there with, like, Chicago, just because I feel the same way. It's like that it's, you know, it's we're all Midwesterners, you know what I mean? So It's like, yeah, like, fuck you, we're just as good.
Yeah, it's like, listen, like, whatever, Californians are like, we have the best Mexican food. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Chicago unapologetically has the best Mexican food. Chicago also has the best pizza. Anyone from fucking New York or California right now that wants to fight me, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. Yeah, again, I just love this song. You love LA. There's nothing left to say. And again, it's even to me more impressive that it's only two people.
Yeah.
Like, in this band. I was watching a music video for another song, and I was like, and then looked it up, and it's like, yeah, no, two people. And again, they still do shows locally around here, so
yeah.
I definitely want to go see them.
I was like, when I, so the band I played in episode zero, that Origami Angel, that's two people. And like watching them live, you're like,
yeah, watching some of their live stuff, I was like, it sounds good too. Cause sometimes it's a complete opposite, but
yeah,
nah,
or it's missing, you know, it's definitely missing stuff. You're like, okay, you guys layered in stuff for the album, but no, it's like, no, sounds good enough.
But much like my recent infatuation with West Side Gun, Local H was also another one where I'm like, oh, what an idiot. I've been depriving myself for 20 years. But then it was like, oh, no, I know all these.
Yeah.
But this is my fucking anthem right here. Please no more California songs. Cherry on top. Fuck New York too. I mean, I like New York, but it's one of those, like,
yeah,
not as much as I love Chicago.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, fuck off, stupid New York. We're going a little bit back in time, though, Drew. Yeah. I love these brothers.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this song in particular, I don't know if it's one of the reasons why you went to it, but it's a song that's often associated with Chicago. I mean,
yes, that was the reason I did it.
So when I was in film school, my film school was about two blocks away from where the parade happened in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It was funny because I was the only person from Chicago. All the other kids were from the suburbs. They would take the train in. I mean, I would too because it was downtown, but they were getting up at like 5 a.m. To fucking come in from Munster, Indiana or random suburbs. And I'm like, I got on the train at 8:30 and made it here at fucking 8:50. It took me longer to find parking than it took me to get to school. But they were all like suburban kids. And there was one time where our script teacher, she took us all to discover Chicago. And it's all fucking downtown. It's not real fucking Chicago.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite. They're like, oh, we love how authentic Chicago is. This is downtown. This isn't fucking Chicago. But at one point, we were there where they have the parade in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And of course, the one song fucking associated with it. You know, if you're at the Bud Billiken parade, or was it? I don't know if it was that or like the German parade or something.
Yeah.
But I think their version was the Beatles version.
I think it was, yeah. Yeah.
Twist and turn. But I love this song.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Isley Brothers.
1962.
From Cincinnati, Ohio.
How far is Cincinnati from Bradner?
about as far as St. Louis from Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Cincinnati is exit one on 75, and Bowling Green is exit 181. So it's about, actually, it'd be about a 3-hour drive.
There's two places in Ohio that I went to for wrestling shows. One was wherever the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. I don't know where the other place was. But I remember it was me, Anthony, Tanya, and my girlfriend at the time, Gloria. We drove up to Pittsburgh. Cincinnati, you said? Or no?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Then one other city for like three NXT shows.
Well, okay. Was the other NXT show, was it the Arnold Classic?
Mm-mm. Was not the Arnold Classic.
Oh, okay. Because that's in Columbus. And I know they used to do stuff with that.
It was a music venue.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I believe the main event was Charlotte versus Sasha Banks.
Oh, man. I remember those days.
Yeah. Those, hey, hot, you know. Hot take. Those girls can work.
Yeah.
Not as well as the Isley Brothers, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, hell no. I love the Isley Brothers. That's one of those, like, ones when you, like, you buy the greatest hits and you're like, I know every fucking song on this thing.
Yeah, dude.
Well, what I was surprised to find out, like, as I'm looking, like, searching their music, like, dude, they're, like, putting out albums, like, recently. Like, there's songs with, like, recent artists and stuff. It's like, what?
I fucking don't believe you, so I'm going to look this up now. I thought they were dead.
I mean, when I looked it up, it was, like, they were, fuck, I wish I could remember who, but I was like, that has to be recent, because that's a...
I mean... Yeah, I mean, there's a song from 2022. Yeah, I mean, there's more recent stuff. I thought they were dead for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I should, because I already have it pulled up, is I should look on Wikipedia, because it'll tell me if they're dead or not. Because maybe it's one of those, like, posthumously, where they're still making
that's
songs.
That's the one. There's one I saw. It's called The Plug, featuring 2 Chainz.
I mean, right here it says, years active, 1954 to present.
Yeah.
No shit. Hell yeah. I mean, fucking good for them. I mean, looking at their discography, yeah, I guess the last album they put out was 2022, but fuck yeah, dude. Good on them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Again, so plenty of fucking... music has sampled their music, and for a reason. They're very fucking good. I mentioned, so this group in particular, it's funny because for a while there's a song that I'm not even going to say which song. There's a song that relates to this group, but mm-hmm. I've seen this group in concert once. We go back to, a white passing Latina that I know.
Yes.
It was the first time that I ever went to Riot Fest. Which I remember was funny because they had a thing where it's like, oh, hey, like if you go paper for us X amount of times, you'll get X amount of, you know, do it this many times, you get a 1-day pass. This many times, you get a 2-day pass.
Yeah.
And we got smartened up by one of her friends that was just like, hey, this is a free way to get into some of these street festivals where you have to pay money. And essentially what we had to do was take pictures of us with people that to show that we're handing out these flyers. So naturally, we'd hop around to different street festivals, take a picture or two, and fucking throw out the flyers, because fucking, what are you, dumb? You don't know Riot Fest and you live in Chicago? The second largest music festival in the city? Yeah. Go, like, fuck off. You don't need a street team. People know. Yeah. And yeah, we just like did that. And so we got like a 3-day pass or a 2-day pass or something like that. And we wanted, there was one specific day, in one day we saw Atmosphere, Blink-182, and then this group, Fall Out Boy. But I remember the one specific stage that we were at, it was Atmosphere played, and we got up to we didn't get up to the front. We were probably like somewhere in the middle. And then once everyone cleared out for Atmosphere, Fall Out Boy was playing, and she was a big fan of Fall Out Boy, so we got up right to the fucking front. Literally right up, mm-hmm. We're on the fucking thing. You can see everything. And this would have been around the time my songs Know What You Did in the Dark play, or they came out with that one.
Yeah.
And again, we're there, we're enjoying our time, and we never at any point looked back to see how many people were there. And you know, they're coming out and you just hear fucking, whoa. It's a badass song. I love that song.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people are like, oh, it's commercial. I don't give a fuck. It's a fucking great song. But it starts to play and then people start fucking crowd surfing. Uh-huh. And I'm getting fucking angry because I get kicked in the head. So I literally grab this girl's shoe, take it off. It was a van slip on it, and I just fucking chuck it. Cause I'm just like, and I'm grabbing people fucking throwing. I'm like, get the fuck away from me and my girlfriend. Like, cause they're smashing into us. And I turn around. It is a sea of people. It looked like the last 30 minutes of The Dark Knight Rises. There was so many people, and it was not a big area. Like, it was just not a big area, and it was just like, holy fuck, there are so many goddamn people. And again, at a certain point, we're being trampled, so I grab her and I put her in front of me, and again, I have fucking elbows up, like I'm throwing fucking elbows, hitting people. I don't give a fuck, man, woman, just like, get the fuck away from us. And I make eye contact with security. He looks at me and he makes a notion of like, you want, I'm like, yes. And I fucking, you know, grab her, get her out of there, grab me. And then we like go around and get somewhere in the middle, because these fucking people were rabid for Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
So of course the song that I'm choosing is Sugar We're Going Down, because at a certain, there's like two or three songs that you actually remember, because after my song, you know, that first song, we had to get the fuck out of Gotham. Yeah,
and this is another one. When I saw that, I was like, another group I was kind of surprised we haven't got to yet.
Yeah. No, I think I was saving them, honestly, for something like City Related. Because they have a lot of fucking songs. And I believe they're like Chicago proper. At least, I think Patrick, the fucking lead singer, I believe he might be like Chicago proper. Trabahar. There was a meme where I was like, Trabahar. It was like when your Mexican friend asks you where you're going at 5 in the morning. And it was like, Trabahar. Sugar, we're going down for you. Yeah, this is very, you know, 2005. This brings me back to like, I think I was like sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Fall Out Boy hit fucking elementary school like crack in the, you know, crack in the 80s.
Dude, yeah, I mean, I was well out of it, but yeah, that was, this song hit everywhere like crack. Like, it was, this was on every fucking, I remember this shit like in the department store I worked at. Like, it was everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm not too crazy about like their,
of course, newer only in the juniors department.
I'm not too crazy about their newer stuff.
Yeah.
But I always think that's fine. Like, I think you're supposed to outgrow certain bands, certain groups after a while. The example I always go to is Atmosphere, and he starts with his dad rap. not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But if you want to fucking play some of your angsty shit, brother, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there for Abusing of the Rib and The Woman with the Tattooed Hands and Modern Man's Hustle. I'm fucking there, dude.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, though, the last time I paid attention to Fall Out Boy was when Uma Thurman and My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark, that album, whatever that album was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that album.
It would've been, these guys, of course, so, you know, like, I immediately, like, was like, all right, I'm in. A Simpsons reference as your band name? I'm in.
Watch out, Radioactive Man.
Yeah, it's like when I you know, a few months ago I played the Mad World cover by Evergreen Terrace. It's the same thing with them. I'm like, yeah, all right, you already got me.
I don't know if you saw, but I'm gonna look at it because you'll very much appreciate a buddy of mine. His newest T-shirt design.
Okay.
Hold on, sorry. Let me. I'm like, I know he just posted it. Ah, oh, fuck. Sorry. I'm like, the link is right here. So, a buddy of mine on the back of his T-shirt, it is the Danhausen Spike tour. Now the cities on the tour are Springville, Shelby Bell, Rockway, Ogdenville, North Havenbrook. It's from the fuck, you know, and it's just one of those.
Yeah, the monorail.
The monorail. I'm like, I love him as, you know, he is fucking a very good person, an exceptional wrestler, a very great friend. I love him even more because of how much of a Simpsons nerd he is. Because if half of the people buying the T-shirt understand that reference, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, again, I instantly, it was like me, I know Jacob, one of my buddies, he posted about it, like he instantly got it. And I was just like, I'm here for it. Like you said, a bunch of Evergreen Terrace with Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
What was it? 2 weeks ago now, you know, going with your last pick, I've talked about these people actually extensively and how a beef with fucking 3-6 Mafia almost got them killed. There is an alternate universe in which Mr. Don't Play is the last Project Pat album because he is in jail for fucking killing Busy Bone. Yeah. I think it might have been Busy Bone in particular. It was Busy or Crazy. I hear the song on the first of every month. Because everyone posts it on their song or on their stories. So what a fucking, and again, shocking that we haven't played them yet either.
Yeah.
But Drew's fucking taking us out with First of the Month.
Yeah.
Bone Thugs in Harmony. And yeah, dude, like I mentioned that summer with me and Ivan, which would have been in about 2005, 2006. Where I discovered Bone Thugs.
Yeah. Wow, 2005 and 2006, huh?
Yeah, I mean, dude, like, I... Again, up until then, whatever Jesus, my godfather Jesus...
Shout out Jesus.
Whatever he and his sisters were listening to, and it was primarily Spanish rock, alternative, like... I knew whatever was on the radio, but it's not until Ivan comes around.
Yeah, I remember, like, specifically this one. That's kind of why I picked it. That was my, you know, big introduction to them. Like, this coming out and just, like, I remember at that time, too, like, because I think they were, like, if I remember right, they were, like, Eazy-E's, like, it was their his last, like, little... push, like he would they were on fuck, what was his called, Ruthless? His was Ruthless. The other one was Death Row, but so like they were on that label, so it's like, okay, plus they like you hear, and I was like, oh, they're from Ohio, like, fuck yeah, let's go. And just like, this song is fucking good. I remember, like, I still remember, like, the premiere on fucking like MTV, you know, like they're just like, yeah, these guys are so fucking cool. And then like a couple years later, they dropped the second album with Crossroads. And it's so funny to me because so there's two versions of Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one that came out on the album originally, and then there's the single version that everybody knows. So there's like if you bought the album right away, you'd know a completely different Crossroads song.
Mm-hmm.
But so like it's pretty. And then I almost picked one from their album Art of War, which is a double album with there's one song with Tupac that I always like, but I was like, yeah, I just got to go with the original.
I remember when we were graduating for eighth grade, there was like a slideshow that they would always have, and they would always play Time of Your Life by fucking Green Day, which was always crazy mean because they would, you know, it's like, fuck. Like, it would always play. They would play that version. He goes, fuck.
Dun, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. That Vitamin C song, Graduation.
Yes.
And I remember I kept suggesting Crossroads because I was like, we're at a crossroads.
Yeah.
But the teacher it was like the science teacher, Mrs. Burke, fucking fuck her. She's like, no, that's not appropriate. What's not appropriate about it? It's you at the crossroads. Like, it's not vulgar or anything.
Nope.
And she was just fucking.
And it's not like this where they're, or the other one where like literally they say fuck.
There's a song that says fuck, and I remember bringing that up, and she was like, "Alberto, I don't want to pick the song." She was weird. One time I always bring this up. My friend Martin Hadeline. There was one time where she was like, "Martin, take your shirt off." And he was like, no. She was like yelling at this boy to take his shirt off. And she was not.
What?
I forget the context, dude. But she yelled that fucking. I can text him now. That's honestly, every time we fucking get together, I'm gonna see if fucking I've said anything about him, about that to him recently. No, I haven't. But yeah, I don't know. One of the last. That's just a story I bring up all the time. Like, remember when Miss Burke told you to take your shirt off? And he's just like, yeah, I don't know why she did that. But, I mean, it happened. She told him. She said it to him. But, I fuck with Bone Thugs. And it's funny, too, because I know they did that, like, versus with 3-6. And, again, fucking Busy Bone almost fucking getting them killed.
Yeah,
it's like death, taxes, and fucking Bone Thugs versus 3-6.
Yeah.
Which I think it's. There's some song where they. I mean, there's several songs where they reference each other, but.
And I always like groups like this, too. That's, you know, one thing I always like about Woo, where they're like. Everybody also has, like, their distinct voice.
Yeah.
Like, you can pick it out and be like, oh, that's, you know, that's Busy. That's Crazy. Like, I love that.
Yeah, because then, you know, to me, it's like absence makes the heart grow fonder. So split up and do your solo projects because much like me to make it all about 3-6. But that was one of the early formulas that worked for them, where it's like we're going to put out this album with everyone on it.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Drew, you're going to drop your mixtape. Me, I'm going to drop mine. Andy's going to drop his. James is going to drop his.
Yeah.
And then fucking everyone's gonna come back together, and it's just like, you know, it's you're putting because people do have their different styles, like you said, with every group.
Yeah.
As much as everyone loves the Wu-Tang, sometimes people just want to listen to Method.
Yep.
And that's fine, and you can, but and again, it's not, you know, they did it with the Rough Riders, they did it with fucking Cash Money, like it's everyone has been doing it always.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think this is a pretty packed fucking, it's pretty star-studded episode.
Really?
If I do say. Yeah. I mean, the Isley brothers and fucking Local H.
Yeah.
The two biggest names on here.
Good luck trying to decide which one to make for the graphic or put on the graphic.
It's gonna be a pretty packed graphic.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's gonna look like.
It's like the live one. I was like, damn, well, you could have fucking dropped everybody on that thing.
And honestly, yeah, sometimes it's just easier to like, I'm going to just, who are the six most recognizable? There you go. Yeah. That's who you get. And I'm always just like, oh, but I'm gonna have picked. But it's fine. You guys, tune into, I don't know what's going to be.
We don't know where we are in time right now.
I mean, I do. I don't know, because the two episodes I was supposed to record for Family Video have not, and I don't know if time will permit. So tune into the Family Video this week to
find out what it is.
Thankfully, I have some episodes banked that I can just drop in there if, you know, if it doesn't work out. But yeah. For this home state edition of Scrump and Drew's Music Box, I've been Scrump.
I've been Drew.
And this is Troy McClure. Troy McClure didn't sing the monorail song. Yeah.
That was, what was his name? It was a double.
Yeah.
Now I can't even blink. I'm blinking.
Well, you know what? Here's fucking Trent Reznor, because he gets everything else, so he might as well get the outro for the show.